But you, the thing was, what I'm getting to is that now that this reality has set in and they actually are taking my team away from me again, and you can say it's not your team. Yes, it is my team. It's my me and my brothers and my family's team.
Right.
We've been my dad had season tickets in 1960. So the
did he watch them when they I didn't know this until yesterday. The Raiders, their first season here was spent at Kezar.
Yeah.
And then they played a couple of more years at the Stick. I didn't know that.
When the Niners saw the Raiders play at the Stick, they had a heart attack and they go, wait. So the Giants will let a football team play there? That's how Kezar closed. Because the Niners didn't think that it was possible. Yeah, and then they moved. They were the first team to play. And remember, the AFL was the first league ever to put names on the back. That was a huge gimmick.
Really?
Yeah. My dad said with my late uncle, they went to one of the first Raider games ever, and a guy walked out in his jersey, and it said real big on the back, like Anderson. And they went, "Hey, Anderson!" And he turned around, and he goes, "What?" And they're like, "Nothing." They're like, "What the hell is this?" Like, Babe Ruth was three. He didn't have Ruth three. But anyway, and remember, the AFL shut down when Kennedy got shot, and the NFL didn't. Pete Rozelle's biggest regret.
Right.
As commissioner of the league, but I digress. I'm just saying, so Monday, Christmas Eve, I'm going to go really early. I'm going to walk around the field. I'm not a big tailgater, but, you know, I get invited to these tailgates, which are fun. You're just going to have to draw it in. Everything in life is temporary, not to be morbid or macabre, but it's just a fact. And there's no way I could see that helmet and
really, I think you're going to shed a tear or two.
I might, because
there's emotion in your voice right now.
The other day, I wanted to just destroy that clown, Mark Davis, so bad. He's such a humiliation. He's an embarrassment. He's a joke. He's an absolute joke. And I just wanted to destroy him. But it's Twitter. Then I'm every 18-year-old.
Right.
I'm not going to do that. I'm trying to have some class about it. And look, he's a grown man. He's entitled to do whatever he wants, but I'm also entitled to my opinion as well. It's just going to be very, very sad. And you know what? I'm actually picking the Raiders to win that game.
Hmm.
And I usually pick them to lose because they stink. What do you think?
In terms of predicting how the Raiders are going to play, I mean, that's impossible. They're so, just when you think they've got something ironed out, you see severe wrinkles in another area of it. But just because I'm just going to hope that sports gives us the type of moment that we kind of lean on sports for. You know, maybe it doesn't make any sense, but it's just damn cool. And it would be just damn cool if the Raiders won that game. The fans deserve that.
It would be cool. Yeah. And listen, as I said before, when this announcement was made, and I know people who boycotted, and I know people who said, I'm still going to go to Vegas. And I think everybody's entitled to what they want to do. There's no right or wrong answer. Everybody has to decide for themselves what they're going to do.
Mm-hmm.
And for me, I'll always be a Raider fan. I can't switch teams, and I love football too much to just ignore the sport. It's like, remember in 94 with the strike season, people said, I'm never going back to baseball. And I said at the time, well, then you don't love baseball.
Right.
Call me a sucker. The first day they're back, I'm there.
No doubt.
If you really love something and then you don't go, I think you're only just hurting yourself.
Exactly. You are just hurting yourself. And if you think that your little, I don't mean to minimize your pain or, the way you feel. Obviously, this sucks for Raiders fans is what I'm saying. I get that. But if you think your protest is going to be felt in any way by Mark Davis, you're wrong. So
no, he won't miss your $80, but I understand. I'm not giving my $80 to the guy. I understand people that don't want to do it.
And yeah, I do too.
Yeah, and I respect whatever they want to do. I say I'll always be a Raider fan, but I'll never, ever, ever watch them in Las Vegas. Just like I never watched them in L.A. And I never wore anything that said L.A.
Really?
No, never. And I can tell you this.
Did you adopt a team during that time?
I was a Raider fan the whole time. I watched every game. I listened to every play. I just didn't say L.A. and I didn't go in person. And I can tell you that I'm jealous all those years.
Oh, I thought you meant you never even watched the Raiders.
No. I love the Raiders too much to never watch. And I love football.
Okay.
I'm a football lifer. I played it. I coached it. I am a football. I'm baseball guy, soccer. I'm a lot of guys like you. If you love sports, there's a lot of sports that you love. I'm a hockey guy. I love all that stuff. But it's just, I don't know what we did to deserve this. And people say, you know, well, he had to get out of that stadium. He was never going to, he needed the money. And the thing I like to point out is he has enough to pay the salary cap. He gets the same amount of TV money as every other team. So what you're saying is it's his personal wealth that he needs. Yes, he will get more money in Vegas personally.
Right.
But he already had enough money to make payroll. It's not like, you know, like a baseball team going, we just can't pay more than $60 million. You know, in the NFL, you can't say that.
So why was there the ridiculous theory out there that Mark just didn't have the money to pay Mac?
Because people
literally
are,
didn't have the
people
money.
Are stupid, and they hear these conspiracy theories. Do you think he could pay a guy $100 million
right.
to coach? I mean, and you go, well, that's where he spent all his money. No. Look, it's just ambition. Mac was going to get paid one way or another. And as we waited, and Aaron Donald got more than we ever thought he was going to get. And whoever went second was going to get more. And that's just, is that an obscene amount of money? Maybe to you and me, but not to him. He deserves it.
It's relative.
It is relative because that's the price of doing business in the NFL if you get an elite player. The only guy who was ever all pro at two positions simultaneously. I don't know. I have to get Rene Descartes' metaphysics book out to try to figure that out. How do you Claude Rains?
By being badass.
Right. And you could say, listen, he has a contract. He needs to come in and honor it. Well, if you wanted to do that, if you wanted to go Pittsburgh with Le'Veon Bell, I wouldn't have liked it, but I would have respected it. Mm-hmm. I would have hated it as a fan, but, you know, as a grown man, I would have respected Gruden saying, look, you're signed. So that was the choice, Le'Veon Bell him or pay him like Donald. The choice was never to trade him. That was never the choice. And that really, it was when the season ended. I mean, it literally ended at that moment, which is sad. And so every little win we can get now is a feel-good moment. And I hope we do get a feel-good moment for the fans out there.
Do you root for Cleo Mack?
No, he's irrelevant to me.
Really?
Yeah. Okay. If you don't have a Raider helmet on, I don't give a damn about you. Not one damn.
I'm just curious to, because if you had watched some of the Bears games, I mean, has he gotten even better?
He's having a great season.
He is.
Look at his statistics.
Yeah.
And it was right from the jump. Remember that night game?
Oh, yeah.
We have the strip sack. And
of course. It's like, okay, look, what would be the worst possible scenario for the Raiders tonight? It would be exactly what Khalil Mack
right.
did in the Bears game.
And I like Khalil Mack. Let me tell you the first time we ever got a chance to talk to him. It was a rookie minicamp. And I'm looking at Derek Carr, who looks fantastic. And I was standing there with our buddy Romo. And I said, because most quarterbacks, like when I saw Connor Cook and Tyler Wilson, they come in, throw worm burners, and they airmail. Why shouldn't they? They're playing with guys that never played before. A lot of these guys are just tryout scrubs. Mm-hmm. And Carr looked fantastic. And I remember I asked Romo, does Carr look really good because I want him to look good or because he just looks really good? And he's like, no, the kid's really good. But afterwards, before we talked to Carr, we talked to Mac. And the first question to Mac was, as we're standing there on the Raiders practice field, is, hey, this was a pretty good draft, it looks like. I think you guys might actually be pretty good this year. What do you think? And Khalil Mack said, I have no idea. I don't know if this draft was good. We haven't played a game yet, so I can't say it was a good draft yet. Right. And I thought, God, I love that. And he wasn't being a naysayer. He wasn't being sassy or being a jerk. He was just saying the truth. How do we know? I mean, you look at that Niners draft. Remember Solomon Thomas and Reuben Foster? And the Bears got stuck with Trubisky, who's going to stink. That was, you know, and the Niners got an A+. That's a day after the draft.
Right,
how does
right.
that draft look now?
Yeah.
So that's what I loved about Mac's honesty. I like the guy, and I hope he has a great career. I'm not super interested because I don't play fantasy. Mm-hmm. So I'm not interested in what people are doing on other teams.
Yeah, John Lynch won that draft. I remember seeing that from multiple media outlets.
I said it. I hella said that.
Solomon Thomas.
We thought he was going to be a beast.
Yeah. I fell for it. The kid from Utah. I was so jacked that they got him. I loved the whole story that they actually, he was off the board and then they put him on the board because they dug a little deeper and found out it was related. Just everything was shaping up for it to be this awesome feel-good story and then he can't get on the field. Now he's gone.
Yeah. And the best selection in that whole draft is George Kittle. Pro Bowler.
No doubt.
How about that?
And that, by the way, is the fact that George
That's why
Kittle,
you don't lose on purpose, because you don't know where the good guys
exactly. are. Exactly.
And these idiots who think you should lose on purpose.
I read a couple of different articles recently about, look how good Kittle is, because he's doing it with, it doesn't matter who's quarterbacking. It could be Beathard, it could be Mullins, it could be Jimmy G. This dude just produces. Okay, well, what's the common denominator here? It's Kyle Shanahan calling plays. And you watch a lot of, look, I'm not taking anything away from Kittle. He's fantastic. But you look at a lot of his catches, there's nobody within 5-10 yards of him. And that's because Kyle Shanahan schemed him open. And the tight end is, if you've got a tight end who can run a little bit, he is going to be very productive in a Kyle Shanahan system. The problem is that for me anyway, and you know, I don't have a wealth of football knowledge. I've done the best I can, having not played it, to catch up to speed and know a little bit about it. But it just seems common sense to me that Shanahan's system is far more effective in the middle of the field because he needs space and he schemes into that space. But when you're in the red zone, if you're taking the snap at the two, he doesn't have that space to work with. And I think that's part of the reason the Niners have struggled in the red zone. As a football aficionado, what do you think of that?
I never thought about it that way. So you're saying that he would be better off with a CFL end zone that's 20 yards
yes,
deep.
Yes, I think if there was a CFL end zone, George Kittle would have about 15 TDs.
So Shanahan and Kittle, Montreal Alouettes, get them up there.
There you go. Or the Calgary Stampede, the Calgary Stampede.
Stampeders.
How about the Rough Riders? Where are they from?
Well, there were two. The Ottawa Rough Riders.
There were two Rough Riders?
There were two.
That's
bad for ball. One was Rough Riders, two words. And one was Rough Riders with one word. But now, the Ottawa Rough Riders are now the Red Blacks. It's funny. I remember going to see Goff play against Arizona State.
The Red Blacks?
The Red Blacks. It has to do with French Canada. I don't know. Something to do. But there was a Red Black scout that was watching Goff in the press box with me. And I'm thinking, you're not getting Goff. Look on special teams at Cal. Those are the guys you're going to get. But I said, what happened to the Stampeders? He's like, or the Rough Riders. He goes, no, it's all Red Blacks now. That's your little CFL. And by the way, speaking of Rene Descartes, how about a 55-yard line?
Oh, wow, yeah.
55-yard line.
I got seats at the 55, baby.
You are midfield. All right, let's transition. Let the rage boil down. Talk a little Dubs on the other side. And we'll take a look from enemy territory. It will be Jovan Buha covers the Clippers.
Patricia Adris, yeah.
He's Urban. I'm Tittle. Come on back at 95.7 The Game.
Now back to Urban and Tittle.
Thank you for that. Welcome back. In the Hall of the Mountain King. Who wrote that, Herbs?
Absolutely no idea.
Grieg. What is the address there? Grieg.
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 How do you spell it?
G-R-I-E-G. Grieg.
Is that his first name or last name? Or is he like a Cher, a Madonna, a Prince?
Well, it's just like saying Mozart or
okay.
Liszt. Or Mendelssohn. You just say Grieg. All right. It is our pleasure now to welcome Jovan Buha. He covers the Clippers for The Athletic. And, of course, we will get to Warriors warm-up here at the top of the hour.
And he's wondering, what the hell did I get myself into?
Could you say, in a way, Jovan, that Rivers is doing his best coaching ever this season with what he's got and how they're playing?
Yeah, I would say it's up there, especially since he's been in L.A. I mean, I think last year might have been more impressive with just how injury riddled they were all season. You know, especially after the Blake Griffin trade, you know, this is a team that was sometimes down to like 7 or 8 healthy players, period. They had to call up multiple G League guys. So I would say it's probably last season was a little bit more impressive, but this is right up there. Again, you know, this team was atop the West for over a week, which, you know, most people predicted them not to make the playoffs, let alone be, you know, in that kind of top tier mix. So I think for them to you know, have that start that they did and still be in the thick of the playoff hunt, you know, over 30 games in the season, I think that's really impressive. And, you know, a lot of it is on Doc and the coaching job he's done.
How many people are saying, see, I told you his son was the problem?
Austin Rivers has been a very divisive player for Clipper fans. You know, a lot of people swear by him and he kind of won them over, especially with that gutsy, bloody playoff performance against the Blazers. when he had his eye shut and, you know, was kind of bleeding from it. And then a lot of guys don't like him and kind of blame him for a lot of the Lob City problems and kind of why that whole thing broke up. So it really depends who you talk to on how they feel about Austin.
You know, it's kind of funny because, as you know, we get these voluminous pregame notes, and a lot of it's just sort of mind-numbing. But a couple of numbers jumped out at me, and that is the Clippers and the Warriors both average scoring 115 points a game. They both average 46 rebounds per game. But the Warriors have six more assists per game. Can you read something out of that stat?
Yeah, I think the Clippers' ball movement has not been great at times this season, especially lately. Their offense has dipped a bit over the past couple weeks. I think part of that is just the nature of who their scorers are. Like, you know, Lou Williams is someone who almost exclusively scores in isolation or out of a pick and roll, creating for himself. You have Tobias Harris and Gallinari, who are also kind of similar, where they're going to post up, or, you know, they're going to kind of go one-on-one with their guys around the free throw line. So I think it's just kind of the nature of the team. They don't really have any elite playmakers. The one guy that they have is Milos Teodosic, but he doesn't even really play. So I would just say, kind of based on their personnel, they don't really have that guy who's going to get, you know, 8 to 10 assists on a given night. It's, you know, it's really more like 4 or 5 assists. So I think it's just kind of how they're built.
We're getting a little preview of the national anthem.
Yeah, nice.
Yeah.
Hey, how goes the Kawhi courtship? There's reports of a team official being at 75% of Kawhi's games. He's obviously getting a lot of attention. The pursuit seems real. What's the feeling inside the franchise, inside the locker room, inside the front office about being able to land him?
Yeah, so the Clippers have denied that, that it's as high as 75%. You know, they've kind of said it's under 50%, but, you know, it's kind of semantics. So,
yeah, it's still significant.
I mean, look, I think what's interesting is that he, you know, obviously the plan that was kind of laid out in that article on ESPN was Kevin Durant and Kawhi Leonard, and how the Clippers can kind of, you know, they're in position to clear cap space to get both of those guys. What's interesting, though, is, you know, from everything I've kind of heard, it seems like Kawhi is actually more of the target. You know, I think obviously, you know, everyone would want Kevin Durant, and if they could get both guys, I think that's a no-brainer. But, you know, it seems like they've actually been going harder at Kawhi. Maybe that's just because they think they have a better chance of getting him than KD. Because, you know, if it came down to it, for me, I would pick KD over Kawhi. I think that's a no-brainer. But, you know, it seems like they've been going harder for Kawhi. But, look, I think they have a legitimate chance. Everything that's been reported the past couple months, you know, Michael Wright from ESPN, Adrian Wojnarowski from ESPN. There's been multiple reports that, you know, the Clippers are probably the favorite if Kawhi leaves Toronto. So I think they have a good chance. I don't know if it's going to happen a lot. You know, look, if the Raptors win the title or make the finals, maybe, you know, he stays. But I think if they flame out in the playoffs as they have the past 2 years, I think there's a good chance he could leave. And he's a Southern California native. I think the Clippers have really built an attractive, young, up-and-coming core to kind of move forward with. And you put Kawhi there, I think they're right in the mix behind the Warriors and kind of with the rest of everybody else.
Yeah, I don't think Kawhi does a Paul George. I think he actually comes back to L.A. We'll see. It's before Christmas. These guys don't even know what they're going to do yet. So I think it's funny how we put percentages. But let me ask you about this. You mentioned Harris. And in a way, you know, he's 26 now. He's living up to that potential. He's having a great season. But the surprising thing for me is about Gallinari, and we all know the guy can score, but you look still throwing down 20 points a game and being very effective with the rebounds, 6 per game as well, a nice little passer. When I heard the Clippers were getting Gallinari, I almost yawned, but I shouldn't have. This guy's still really good.
Yeah, no, Gallinari has definitely been the biggest surprise of the season. Like, I think, you know, two of the biggest things that have happened in the Clippers' start has been, you know, Tobias Harris and Montrezl Harrell each taking kind of the next steps in their respective games. But, you know, I think the biggest surprise has definitely been Gallinari, just because last season he only played 21 games. And in those 21 games, he was horrible. Like, if you look at his stats, it was probably his worst season ever when he was healthy. You know, there was times he had open dunks and he was just laying the ball in. And it just, he had no explosion or lift. This season, you know, there's a couple, he had a couple of driving dunks last game, which I was just shocked. Like, this guy is, you know, he's not that athletic, but he's somehow cramming on guys. So I think his turnaround has been huge for this team. There's been times he's been arguably better than Tobias. I think most people would say Tobias has been the best player, but Gallo's right there neck and neck with him. And, it just kind of creates this really weird matchup problems for teams because you can't really put a traditional four on either one of those guys. They're too fast for them. But then if you go with a smaller wing, they can shoot over them and post them up. So I think that's really been kind of the center of the Clippers' offense has been those two guys kind of running the show.
So the basketball dynamic down in Southern California is very similar to the baseball dynamic up here. The Giants, no matter what their records are, the Giants are always going to be kind of the big brothers and get the most of the attention. And it's the same thing down there with the Lakers or Clippers, although it felt like the Clippers were closing the gap a little bit. And then, they make the trade for Blake, and at first it was like, what are we doing? But it ended up working out well, and people start feeling really good about the Clippers. And then, of course, the Lakers go and get LeBron. So, I mean, did that impact? What's the Clipper fan psyche like these days?
Yeah, it's I apologize for the background noise.
No problem.
It's been interesting because I think, the truth is, even at the height of Lob City with Blake and Chris, when they're playing the Warriors in the playoffs and the Rockets and the Thunder, like, that team was actually more relevant nationally than locally. Like, they really never made, I would honestly say the LA fan breakdown is probably 95% Lakers, 5% Clippers. And maybe in that peak, it got to like 90-10 or 85-15, but it really never got more than that. It was never like a, 50-50 type thing. So I think even with how good those teams were, they were not really able to make many inroads in LA. Nationally, though, is where things were different because there was the drama going on and the playoff failures. And so I think the Clippers do have a little bit of that kind of Napoleon complex with the Lakers. But I think what, the team has tried to do is, their slogan this season is LA our way. And it's a little bit cheesy, but I think they're trying to separate themselves as much as they can. Like, one of the things that people haven't really talked about is the Clippers actually changed their name a couple years ago. They're no longer the Los Angeles Clippers. They're the LA Clippers. And that was just a small detail of them trying to separate themselves from the Lakers. So I think what they've really tried to do is almost operate as like a small market team, more of a blue collar team. They're trying to take the opposite approach of the Lakers, who are the glitz and the glamour and the Hollywood. So that's, the branding is minor, but that's really how the Clippers are viewing themselves and looking at themselves. And I think that's, you kind of have to do that because they're never going to beat the Lakers at their own game. They're never going to be more Hollywood. The Lakers went out and got LeBron. That's, as Hollywood as it can get. You're not going to beat them at that. But if you want to take the approach of we're more of like a small market, gritty, blue-collar team, I think maybe you could win some fans over that way. So that's really been the change in approach of the Clippers, I think, over the past couple of years. And that was kind of getting away from Lob City, which was kind of Hollywood, and then going more towards this blue-collar approach that they're trying to pitch now.
Well, L.A., our way. I remember when the Giants, they had a season where their motto was, I feel good. That might have been the dumbest one I've ever seen. Well, listen, Jovan, we've been speaking with Jovan Buha. Follow him on Twitter at Jovan Buha. That's J-O-V-A-N-B-U-H-A. He writes for The Athletic, covering the Clippers. We really appreciate your time, and hopefully we'll catch up soon.
Yes, sir. Thanks for having me on. Appreciate it.
All right, good stuff. Do you remember that? Herbs, they had the, this is, I don't know, maybe like 1988, and the Giants took the James Brown song.
Yeah, I definitely remember that.
I feel good. Mm-hmm. Na-na-na-na-na-na. And then it said, Giants baseball, quote unquote, I feel good. I mean, there have been some dumb ones.
Well, there was, you got to like these kids. That was when I was actually a kid. What was that, 86, 80s?
Somewhere in there.
Yeah. Yeah. It was, and who were the kids on that team? Do you remember? Was it when The Thrill was a rookie and Robbie Thompson was young? Was that, does that make sense?
Yes.
And they got to get Randy Newman. Has he passed on to the group?
I think he's still with us.
He is? Mm-hmm. They got to get him to write a Clippers theme song.
How even in the 70s, it wasn't very PC to say short people got no reason to live. That was pretty tough.
No reason to live? Is that in the lyrics?
Short people got no reason to live.
I don't remember the lyrics.
That was a hit.
Wow. I remember the song, and I remember it being short people. I don't it was remember the him saying they should all die.
It's the national anthem for all heightists. All right. Wow. Everything in life can be summed up one or two ways, and that is GFB, BFB.
It's time for Good for Ball.
Oh, that was outstanding.
Or Bad for Ball.
That is a disgusting act.
here's Michael Urban.
All right. Yes, one of two ways. Everything in life, not just sports stuff, everything in life. I say this all the time. If you hang out with me for a full afternoon, you're going to hear me say good for ball or bad for ball, either to myself or somebody else or just under my breath. It's a go-to for me, and it's become, you know, something of a regular thing wherever I go professionally. We like to kick it out. Now, we will stick to sports once the game, you know, is afoot in full, but we always give real-life examples to make sure everybody's clear on how exactly the game is played. So I ask you, Rick, have you had a – give us a good for ball or bad for ball from your life today.
By the way, I love that Arthur Conan Doyle double entendre there, game is afoot. Little Sherlock Holmes there. I got you there.
You're welcome.
Bad for ball is people driving 100 miles per hour in the freeway, weaving through traffic, which and on their phones, which to me seems to be maybe every 100 yards on the freeway.
Yeah. Pretty much every time somebody, like if I'm driving and I have to give a quick little toot because someone's drifting into my lane and say, hey, dude, this is my lane, invariably they are looking down at their phone. I mean, I can't believe there aren't more accidents or more tickets.
It's never been more dangerous to drive in the history of the world.
And like hands-free doesn't make it any safer. No. Doesn't seem to anyway, because hands-free is not eyes-free, too. You need to look at what you're doing on the device, turn it on and what have you. But yeah, that is definitely bad for ball. Good for ball, and I mentioned this yesterday, even more good news. A friend of mine, his 21-month-old son, he was in the hospital. It was awful, obviously, when you got it, any child, but especially when it's that young, it's such a helpless feeling. And they feared that he had leukemia, and he was there for a lot of different days of testing. And he got a relatively clean bill of health. They were able to rule out leukemia. And so Calvin, who is the son of my buddy Mike, a good friend of mine, he is back home and resting safely. That's very good for ball.
That goes beyond good for ball. It's fantastic. Yep. Good news.
So what we are going to do now is turn it over to Gabriel. I've never called him Gabriel before, but he must refer to himself as Gabriel.
You know what Gabriel reminds me of?
Is Peter in, Gabriel?
No, Kenny Powers.
Shock the Monkey?
Kenny Powers, of course, he's Bound and Down. Ashley Schaefer, BMW. That was Will Ferrell. He was an albino guy. My son, Gabriel. He'd always talk about it. And you got to meet my son, Gabriel. You ever get that, Gabe? My son, Gabriel, from Kenny Powers?
No, I'm actually a little bit curious considering the season. I'm the one who got this whole ball rolling with the Jesus and all that. I brought that news to the town, man.
What? I have no idea what that means.
You wrote the New Testament?
The angel Gabriel was the one who delivered the news to Mary that she was pregnant with the baby Jesus.
Wow, that's a lot to live up to. You're named after that guy.
That's actually primarily where it comes from. Yeah, my older brother is Michael, not spelled in the creative way that Mr. Urban is there, but Michael is another archangel in Christian
lore.
How about this?
How about this? I'm going to provide some information that some people do not know. I was named Michael because of the archangel, and I spell my name with an I legally. On my birth certificate, on my driver's license, it's with an I. I had a journalism professor tell me, Michael's a boring name. Everybody's named Michael. You need to do something different. And then he like got a light in his eye. He goes, Michael Thompson, Lakers. I notice his name every time. So let's just take the I out, put a Y in. People will remember it. And it worked. People noticed it. Klay Thompson himself noticed it, mentioned it, and he's fired up. We have a bond because I told him it's because of your dad, dude.
Some incredible Bay Area sports truth.
and this is a true story. I was named after Rick Barry. I've told you that before.
Yeah.
And
Brody Brazil.
He's no angel.
He's no angel. Brody Brazil here locally was named after John Brody.
John Brody. Yep. That's right. And Chris Townsend was named after Chris Webber.
Stop it. Did you know Townie's got like a grandfather who...
He was an American League MVP.
Yeah, that's crazy.
Yeah, and he was also the manager of the A's, too.
Awesome.
Yeah.
All right, so...
Good bloodlines.
So Gabriel is going to be the Steve Harvey of the program.
Ooh, okay.
All right. Miss Philippines.
I don't necessarily love that title, but... All right. Good for ball or bad for ball. Fantasy football. has embedded itself in the cultural landscape to the point where some players have spoken out against some of the vitriol they receive for not producing for their quote-unquote owners.
That is bad for me.
Pittsburgh wideout Juju Smith-Schuster is not one of those folks. Yesterday he tweeted, quote, "A lot on the line this week. The whole season comes down to this. Yes, I'm talking about the fantasy football championship round. Of course I'm playing Sunday. There's no way I can let down the real ones who believed in me by drafting me. Let's get it." Two trophy emojis. Juju's attitude, is that good for ball or bad for ball?
Let's see. I need more time.
This is what I love. Not so much that, and I know they get guff for that. The thing that always freaks me out, and you guys know this on the other side of the glass, is when their Madden ranking comes out. And it's like, how in the hell are you saying that Julian Edelman is faster than me? This is an outrage. He's an 8.8 and I'm an 8.6. That's what I think is hilarious.
My favorite part of this whole thing is just that somebody's named Juju.
He's fantastic. USC.
I like Juju.
Yeah.
I think, look, his intentions were good for ball. And I like that he's having some fun with it. But with gambling being such an, I mean, it's always been a huge part of football and sports in general, but now it's legal. And it just kind of makes you wonder or reminds you of why some people are scared of gambling being so openly embraced. Because, I mean, let's face it, fantasy football is in some way a form of gambling, is it not? Do you agree with that, Gabriel? You agree with that, Rick?
Nah, it's just fun.
No?
Depends. I mean, there's
money
some,
on the line.
In some capacity, sometimes there's not.
Yeah, so I would hate for a player to be in a fantasy league with his insanely rich friends, and he's got a bunch of money on this weekend, and so he approaches it differently. I just think that opens up.
Can I throw out a little gambling, how I got cheated gambling last week?
Of course you can.
I was in Atlantic City last week, Caesar's Palace, and I don't gamble much, but I like roulette. And I always eat McGreens, 0-0-0. So I walk over to the roulette wheel. I look at the board. They have a video, a little, says what the last, 20 games were. Mm-hmm. None of them were green. So the way roulette works in every casino is right when they roll it, they go, any last bets? And then they go, okay, no more bets. So I put my 20 down, and I said, can you put the 0-0-0? So it's 36-1, have it 18-1, right? So if I got one of them. She looks at me weird. And then she rolls the ball and she goes, no more bets. I rolled the ball. And I went, what? And it lands on zero. And I was so mad. And then my friend said she would have been fired because she knew that the green was coming up.
Really?
And they're watching her. So it really wasn't her fault. That's how much of a fix it is. And people tell me casinos will cheat all the time like that. So this is why I tell people, don't gamble ever. Do the home version. Just rip up your own money in your bedroom.
Yeah, I don't gamble.
Just rip it up in your bedroom. It's quicker.
All right, Gabriel.
On that happy note,
so
go ahead.
What did you give it?
What?
I said bad for ball.
I'm going to go good for ball, just for fun.
No, it can't be just for fun. This is serious.
Stop having fun.
This isn't gambling. The outcomes aren't predetermined. You actually have a choice here.
Yeah. You know what I mean.
Okay.
All right, the Angel Gabriel, go ahead.
In today's Falcons-Panthers tilt, Atlanta punter Matt Bosher started and finished a kickoff play by booting the ball downfield and eventually leveling return man Kenjon Barner with a mean tackle. Normally, if kickers or punters are involved in a play, it usually ends embarrassingly, so this was a welcome exception. But overall, kickers and punters trying to make tackles, is that good for ball or is it bad for ball?
Did you see Seabass?
Yeah.
With his yeoman's effort.
He did a Dan Marino effort, yeah.
Oh, my God. If you slow that down and watch it repeatedly, it's hilarious.
Can I just tell you a little story about him?
Yeah.
Because I watched him for over a decade with the Raiders. Every time he had to make a tackle, he did his hamstring and was out a month. So I think he probably decided after the third
time,
I'm never, ever, ever going to try and make a tackle again.
You would think that, okay, a lot of times hammies can come from if you're not properly stretched. I would think kickers and punters would stretch more than any player on the team.
Well, think about this. Every time anyone ever bunted on Bartolo Colon, he did his hammy.
He did his hammy.
There's just something weird about that, yeah. But listen, I'm for it. You remember the House of Pain, Jerry Glanville, and he said, we're going to go ahead and just kill the kicker. Because then they won't have the kicker. And he did it against the Steelers. They just ear-holed the and Chuck Knoll came over to Glanville after the game and just read him the riot act.
Right.
Yeah, it's kind of like World War II, and the Japanese said, kill the medics. They're the ones that help. They didn't have this whole Western, you know, this ideal of what's fair and what's not. So I think anytime a kicker, this is what they dream of. As a former safety, offensive linemen always dreamed of killing a DB, but they were always too slow to catch us. That's why you always got to watch out. Don't stand by a pile. But I think anytime a kicker, if they want to do it, go ahead. I'm fine with it. Good
for ball. Yeah, I'm too. Good for ball. Be a football player.
All right. The Cowboys return to the top of the NFC East today, clinching it in a win over the Buccaneers. Notre Dame is playing in the college football playoff. A little school in South Bend, Indiana. I don't know if you've heard of them.
Golden Dome.
One of the things that is offered rumored to be good for ball is when a traditionally powerful organization returns to the top of the heap. Oh, when the Yankees are good, that's good for baseball. Do you buy this rhetoric? Historically great teams being great, is that good for ball or bad for ball?
I'll go first. It's bad for ball. It's when people say that whole Yankee thing, it's just Yankee fans. And I know people will say that about my Raiders, too, that the NFL's better when the Raiders are good. No, it's not. It's better for Raider fans. And so I don't care if Notre Dame's good or not. I don't care if Michigan's good or not. I just want good football. Do you think I'm excited because Alabama's there again? I'm not.
Right.
So I don't know. What do you think?
Probably 10 years ago, I would have thought the opposite, but I'm now with you. I just like the idea of fresh faces and people we haven't seen before. That's why the Astros were such a welcome participant in the postseason that they won the World Series. It was terrific. You got a fight going on right now.
All right. Behind the glass.
I'm with you. I'm with you on that.
It's Joe and Gabe. Go ahead, Joe. Gabe.
All right. Well, I have one more up here. I know that you wanted to get to some, Rick. This one is not sports related. So in the chance that you wanted to get to your sports ones first, I would like to
give
you the
floor. No, go ahead. You are an archangel.
All right. Well, Christmas is just 2 days away, if you didn't know. And there will be many gifts given and received. One present that has been picking up steam over the past year or so is the Amazon Echo, known colloquially as Alexa. Some people love the convenience of being able to activate and use this kind of multifaceted device just by talking. Others are creeped out by the idea of a computer algorithm living in your home and listening to you at all times. Amazon's Alexa, is it good for ball or bad for ball?
It's horrifying for ball. What the question you should ask is, Alexa, how do I talk to human beings? How do I have proper discourse? You know what I did one time, Herbs, and I regret it. I said, and I won't do it again because I know it'll work. I said the name of the product. And then I followed it with, order me a large pepperoni pizza. Not one, not two, three people, two of them laughing, one irate, that me saying that ordered a large pepperoni pizza.
Wait, what?
That went to their house. I said, I don't want to do it again. Let's say that Alexa is Brittany. And I went, Brittany, order me a large pepperoni pizza. They went, dude, she did. And it's on its way.
Really?
That's how, and Gabe's right. They listen to you, big brother. They want to hear your conversations about who was the best of the three stooges.
So
they're interested.
This is serious conspiracy stuff going on. I did not realize that Alexa. And so where does my gal,
Siri?
Siri, where does she fall into this?
She's giving bad directions.
She yesterday's news?
She's too busy giving bad directions.
Wow. Yeah. Are you my friend that doesn't use Waze?
Yeah, I don't use Waze.
You're crazy, dude. You're like, Waze will save you. You know, save you hours.
I tried it. I tried it. I can't even tell you how many Waze it sucked.
Oh wow!
All right, Herbs. I know you've got one. Let me throw this at you. Because
wait. Never mind.
Okay. There was a little bit of fracas the other day about LeBron.
Fracas.
Yes, he was in the locker room and he was looking at his cell phone and somebody was asking him a question. And it just made me realize that, as you know, Major League Baseball, you cannot use your cell phone in a clubhouse. This is why when you go to a clubhouse, you see guys half-dressed all outside the clubhouse on their phones. You absolutely cannot use them. And I was thinking the riots that would happen if NBA players had the same rule.
Right.
So the fact that Major League Baseball cannot have cell phones in the clubhouse under any circumstance, not even to text, good for ball, bad for ball.
Bad for ball. I thought the reason that we saw that in Oakland was because there's so much cement that they couldn't get any cell reception inside the clubhouse.
Yeah.
It's actually a rule? Is it a new rule?
No.
Because I've seen, I mean, even as recently, the last time I covered a team on a daily basis was in 2000.
That's when Taft was president.
Wow. 2000. I don't buy that that's a rule. I've seen a ton of guys with their cell phones in their hands in clubhouses.
You're talking about when Tejada was playing.
No. I'm talking about within the past 3 years, I've seen dudes with cell phone in hand at their locker at AT&T Park. I don't believe that there is a rule.
All right. Well, then you just ruined the good for ball, bad for ball.
No, it's
well, I've been told that there was a rule, so they were lying to me.
And that's bad for ball.
Because I asked, and one guy said,
hashtag
I won't say who
TBD
it is
for ball.
One guy said, I can, if you send out a quick text, it's okay, but you absolutely cannot talk on it.
Yeah, man. I wish we had some.
Well, why don't you call your best friend, Tim Hudson?
No.
I mean, Barry Zito.
How about Susan Slusser? She'll know.
Don't bother her.
Why?
You're going to call her up to ask her that one question?
She's a good friend of mine.
No, she's not. She'll hate you.
Wow.
All right, I got another one for you.
Okay.
Paying college football players. And remember Northwestern almost did a little bit of a strike. We know the Mizzou team strike because of that Nazi thing, and they got the president to retire. We've seen some protests.
Yeah.
Good for ball, bad for ball, paying college football players.
I need a little bit more information. I mean, how much are we talking? Are we talking monthly? Are we talking annually? Are we talking, over the course of your four-year scholarship or however long you're there? Give me a little bit more detail.
Well, it's just the whole scenario of it's a multi-billion dollar industry. Remember the Ed O'Bannon case, which actually was settled in Oakland,
about he was
playing like a basketball game and he was in it. He's like, I didn't get any money. I didn't say yes to this.
Mm-hmm.
And they ended up winning. I just figured that if you want to do it like the Olympics where you can be amateur but still have endorsements, because the 1%, less than 1% of college football players are ever going to get paid as a professional. You play the game. You play the game to win, but you play the game because you love it. I played D2. Why did I play it? Because I freaking loved it. I love the contact. I love the violence, the glory. I just love everything about football.
Right.
It's just, I love it. I was never going to get paid. So if, let's say these guys get paid and maybe you get an extra $115 a month for some Domino's or something.
I'd be fine with that because when, I don't know if the rule has changed, but when I was at USF, if you were on scholarship, this is the weirdest rule. If you're on scholarship, you can't have a job. Like outside. And I guess it was to prevent.
That's the Rhett Bomar stuff.
It's to prevent the school from giving you a no-show job, right?
Mm-hmm.
But that's only for like the best of the best recruits and prospects. Whereas here I am, just an average at best reliever at USF, and they're telling me that I can't get a job on the side. And so. Okay, how am I supposed to go on dates? What am I supposed to get an allowance from my dad? That's what I ended up getting as an allowance from my dad. Guess what the allowance was?
$5.
$2 a day. $60 a month. Right? Now,
I'll tell you this, my grandmother used to mail me a check for $15 a week.
Okay.
And I needed that.
Oh, I bet.
I hella needed that.
I did too, and I also, I don't think it was an accident that my girlfriend, at the time, her dad flew her in his own jet to and from school, basically. So I had to find a girl that had some money because I didn't have any.
All right. There's still time. Lines are open before we go. 888-957-9570. We're getting ready for a little Warriors warm-up here.
I've got one.
Yeah.
Sorry.
No, I was just going to get also to the Chilton Autobody text line, 95795. 510 says, Tittle, you're wrong. Waze is very good for ball and driving. And I understand that Waze is great. Everyone loves it except me. Maybe I should give it another chance.
I think you should give it another chance.
Yeah. It led me down a merry path that I did not want to go. It wanted me to get off and on the freeway three times. And I'm not going to live forever. I'm not doing that.
Yeah, that's aggressive. I've followed that a couple of times. I've seen areas of Emeryville that I otherwise never would have seen before. So in that sense, it was good for ball, and it did save me a little bit of time.
Let me throw this at you, Herbs. I thought this was an interesting statistic because you might have seen that Derek Carr is on his way to be the most completions in NFL history.
First 5 years.
I think he needs 34 in the next two games, which will break Peyton Manning's record. And that's cool. But think about this. Peyton Manning, in his first five seasons in the NFL, threw exactly 100 interceptions. You know how many interceptions Derek Carr has with two games left for five full seasons? I didn't want you to actually guess.
29.
No, he's not Johnny Unitas. No, 52. So he basically has half. Now, if you want to go touchdown passes, Peyton Manning with two games left has 16 more, 138 to 122.
Mm-hmm.
And you could say, well, you know, they had number one overall pick. Indianapolis wasn't very good. You might remember Derek Carr, his first 10 games, he lost.
Yeah.
They were 0-10.
Mm-hmm.
So this is the thing. I know Derek Carr is not going to Hall of Fame, but it kills me when people try to blame him. That is the least. Derek Carr is the least of the Raiders' problems. And I know it's a quarterback league, and everybody's like, oh, Carr sucks. Did he throw a bad pick? And all 52 of those seem like they were back-breaking picks. But the numbers don't lie. Do you really? And listen, I know he's not Aaron Rodgers, but do you want to go back into that vast, barren wilderness with the Andrew Walters and the...
Hey, if they can get Nick Mullins away from the Niners...
What I'm trying to tell people is that for people who hate Carr, let me just tell you, it's 90% worse everywhere else, okay? Outside of New Orleans and Green Bay and maybe three or four other places. You're insane if you want to get rid of Derek Carr and draft Justin Herbert or something. I'm just so against that. You have your quarterback under contract for three more years. Don't shoot yourself in the foot by getting rid of him. Because Raider fans say it can't get any worse. It can. They can get rid of Carr. And then now you're screwed beyond belief.
Yeah, I mean, if you're going to get rid of Carr, you better have a proven commodity willing, you know, ready to step in, like a Nick Mullins. cracked me up that this week that became a story. Somebody had some column inches that they needed to fill, so they talked about maybe trading Mullins in the offseason. But the more I thought about it, it's not crazy by any stretch. But the people suggesting that it should be an open competition for the starting job next year, come on. You got to be kidding me. Jimmy G is currently making the training staff better every day.
Chilton Autobody text line 957-94415 says, I think Carr will be a Hall of Famer once this team gets rolling. I would love that. I would love to see that happen. What I'm saying is right now, he's not a Hall of Fame. But there are a lot of people who, you know, just say, why aren't we winning? Well, we need to get another quarterback. Like, no, that's not
there
what
there are
is.
A million different reasons for why that's
yeah.
winning.
And listen, as I said, he's not perfect. But if you lived through between Gannon and Carr, if you watch the Raiders through those years, and I watched every snap with most Raider fans, just be so happy that you don't have to worry about that position anymore, because that's all we did was worry about that position for over a decade. And it kills me. So, look, Gruden's going to get his guy. He's going to get the guy from Ohio State. He's going to build with a young kid. Carr still is young. He's in his fifth year. And he's going to throw, let's say he has a pick in each game, right? 5 years, all-time record for completions. And by the way, when people say, oh, it's all dink and dunk, I saw the stat on that. It was actually, he was 13th in his career for length. So he's in the middle of 32 teams.
Mm-hmm.
He's not even in the top 10 for short passes.
How old is he? Is he 28, 29?
Well, think about it. He graduated college when he was, what, 22? And so he's 5 years later, maybe 21. So he's 26. Gabe will look that up. 27. Thank you.
27. Wow.
Yeah.
Okay.
You know how they say in the NFL, the third year is when you figure it out?
Yeah.
And that's when Carr was fantastic.
Right.
And the Raiders were 12-4.
Yeah. And then he regressed.
Yeah. And I know Gannon went on and on to say, the worst thing you can ever do for a young quarterback is switch coordinators and switch head coaches. I usually am not as sympathetic to that. I'm like, just learn the damn playbook.
Right.
You know, there's...
That was the Alex Smith apologist.
That always was, yeah. I'm like, I know it's not easy. So you need an extra couple weeks. They have camp.
Right.
They didn't change the entire playbook in the middle of the season, and now we're going to go with the Delaware double wing.
And if you're really bright, which by all accounts, Carr and... Alex Smith, obviously very, very bright, but I've heard that Carr is very bright. So
yeah, you have to be to play a quarter. You have to be to play virtually any position nowadays.
Yeah, but quarterback in particular.
Gone are the days in the 50s when you just take a big, giant Philistine made out of iron and you say, stand here and kill anyone who comes by you, right. You can't have that type of player anymore.
That was my role on the basketball team in junior college.
Kenyatta.
Kenyatta.
What were you, the Kenyatta what?
Colts. Go Colts.
Kenyatta Colts.
Not in our house. Undefeated at home.
All right, coming up next, we are going to have Warriors warm-up, the Clippers. They're a lot better than I thought they were.
They're a fun watch, too. They're an entertaining team.
And you know what? They finally, last year, broke that 12-game losing streak to the Warriors. They've already got a victory.
Sweet Lou's going to drop a 50-piece. That was one of the great lines of all time.
That was.
KD, 50-piece nuggets.
But, you know, I kind of like the braggadocious nature.
I do, too.
Yeah. It's all and Herbs,
good for ball.
Herbs, it's always fascinating working with you, my friend.
Yeah, hey.
We'll do it again. What, was it next week or something? Next week, something like that.
Yes. Merry Christmas to you. Happy holidays.
Kwanzaa and all
that stuff.
I'll be back on Boxing Day. Coming up next, Warriors warm-up. Tittle Urban, 95.7 again.